selected from the choir. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. The King of Glory shall come in.
Joining me today. This ministry is designed to just let's do this today. Share God's word with you. Share God's word with you. Address your need and plant the seed of godly purpose. Listen, through testimonies and ministries of others that will inspire you and motivate you to live a life purposed for godliness. Call in number for the show, 347-989-0144. Join us every Friday and Saturday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Call-in number again is 347-989-0144. You can email me at purposedforgodliness@gmail.com with your prayer request, your praise report. And listen, I want you to be encouraged knowing that God has a purpose and plan for your life. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Yes, he can. So God is able, and we just have to realize that the Lord is able and he can do anything. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to play another song and come back and share with you. Oh, I do have an announcement too. I want to share one announcement with you and then share what's on my heart this morning. I am soliciting your prayers. Got a lot of things to do, as with everyone. I just feel, and I'm sure it's for most believers, there are a lot of things to do, and Lord Jesus, do we have time to do them all? And there's several other things that are on my heart this morning. But again, this Purpose for Godliness with your host, Minister Daphne Smith. I know my theme is dry bones. I just kind of want to share that with you this morning, just give you some words of encouragement. As I said, share some things with you that are on my heart. So we'll be right back, 347-989-0144.
No one can, no one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can, no one will. Oh.
victory belongs to Jesus and Him alone. Oh, my goodness. Victory belongs to Jesus. And we have to remember that no matter what we are going through today, as I said, a lot of things going on, a lot of things going on. But victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. And as long as we remember that, we'll be all right. We'll be fine. Victory belongs to Jesus. Can you say that to yourself? Victory belongs to Jesus. Amen. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Amen. I want to share an announcement with you as I go back and forth here, trying to find some things for you. Those of you all that are in the Antelope Valley area, Love on Purpose Outreach Ministries are having their monthly community grocery distribution this Saturday, September 23rd, and the doors are open at 11 a.m. It will be at the Wayside Community Wayside Christian Church, 44217 10th Street East in the city of Lancaster. Everyone is welcome. Also, if you you can help Feed the Hungry by making a donation today, visit their website at loveonpurpose.wix. I guess that's how you pronounce it, wix.com/LOPOM. The smallest donation can help put food on someone's table. A little goes a long way. And so tomorrow at 11 a.m., their monthly community grocery distribution at 11 a.m. at the Wayside Christian Church, 44217 10th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. Well, let me do one more for Love on Purpose. They also provide hot showers for our homeless neighbors every Tuesday at 9:45 to 11:45. If you want to donate, again, loveonpurpose.winks.com/LOPOM. The smallest donation makes a difference in giving someone back the basic dignity of life. Cleanliness. So thank you for your support. So all of these two things, you can support Love on Purpose. And the shower ministry is, the address is 45134 North Sierra Highway in the city of Lancaster, Grace Resources. So just wanted to give a shout out to Love on Purpose this morning and their ministry. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, listen, get your Bibles. Turn to Ezekiel 37. I don't know how the Lord is going to take us with this. I just want to share it with you. It's been on my heart, and I don't even know how I got to this scripture because I have never taught it, never preached it, anything. I've heard it preached. And I've heard it preached in many, many ways. But me, myself, I've never done this. So this is a new one for me. Most of the scriptures that I have are new. It's not that I've ever preached them or taught them or anything, really. There are some basic ones, I think, that I have that kind of be on my heart. But the Lord seems to be taking me in different directions these days, and so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that's moving in and through my life. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you for your word today, and Lord, I pray, and I stand on your word. I stand on your word that your word would not return void. It will accomplish what you have sent it to do. So I thank you, Father, for your word today, and I know that it will fall on good ground and yield some 30, 60, and 100 fold in Jesus' name. Amen. I know we pray that the word of the Lord, but the word of the Lord is already blessed. He already promised in his word that his word, not our opinions or anything like that, his word will not return void. So I'm learning how to pray, and because I know the word of the Lord is already blessed, I know the word of the Lord will not return void. If I preach his word and say what he tells me to say, it will land on good ground. It will land on good ground. Yield some 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, it's up to you what kind of ground you have, but it will land on good ground. That's what I believe, and that's what I stand on. Okay, so give me a minute here to read the scripture. I'm going to read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, out of at least two versions. I'm looking at three right now, but at least two. Starting with the King James, for all of us that do King James, starting at the King James Version, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," Ezekiel 37 and 1. Says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." The question, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, God, thou knowest. And he said to me," he gave him a command, "he said to me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Come on, church. "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." That's all caps, the Lord. "So I prophesied as I was commanded." Come on, church. "And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." You need to underline that. "There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the wind." Prophesy to the, can y'all underline that? "Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain." Because there's a lot of us that's been slain, wounded soldiers, slain, that they may live. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say," the bones say, "our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, that you shall know that I am the Lord, that you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." Now, I don't know why I've been in these little in these scriptures, because I'm not real. I know a little bit about the history of Israel. I'm not that proficient when it comes to the history of Israel, and I know this is for the people of Israel. And sometimes we try to tie the church in with the people of Israel. And the only way we can do that is that we, as the believers in Christ, are grafted in. There is a promise for the nation of Israel, and there is a promise for the church, the bride of Christ. There is a promise for the nation of Israel, and there is a promise for the church of Christ. And as I said, I don't even know why the Lord led me to this scripture. I'm sitting at the computer this week, and I heard Ezekiel 37, and I'm going, okay. Possibly it's because been in prayer for our church, our local church, and been in prayer for churches, and just seeing what I see, bless the name of God, what I see is the only word I can think of is the demise. And I know that the Lord said, upon this rock, the statement of Peter, I build my church and the gates of hell shall not come against it. That I believe and stand on. And in the midst of all of, and in the midst of, things are still happening with churches and with the body, with the body of Christ, with churches and people. And my question has always been, God, if we are part of Jesus, if we are part of your body, how is it that we are so sick and so separated? Because in Christ Jesus, there is freedom, there is liberty, there's health, there's wealth, there's prosperity. And I'm not just talking about houses and land and all of that. I'm talking about prospering even as our soul prospers. There's all of those things that occur when we are in the body of Christ. Yet, we see people come to church every Sunday looking like the walking dead. And I think that's where that the scripture came to me, the walking dead. We see dry bones in our churches. We see churches closing up. We see pastors or hear about pastors giving up for whatever reason, and not always because they're morally corrupt or done anything immoral. Some are closing up because they're tired. Bless the name of God. They're tired and tired of fighting. I'm tired of going through the changes, just tired. So now we see all of that happening. So that's my scripture, Ezekiel 37. I want to read this out of the Message Bible and then kind of share with you. And if I don't, like I said, if I don't finish it all today, I will do tomorrow. In the Message Bible, it says the breath of life. I think I like that better. I put dry bones, but I think I like the breath of life. It says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around, and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Master God, only you know that. He said to me, prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God. God, the master, told the dry bones, watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. Come on now. Come on now. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. I prophesied just as I had been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, an old rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed. Then bones, then muscles to the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the wind, to the breath, prophesy. People need to breathe, prophesy, prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, God, the master says, come from the four winds. Come, breath, breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life. Prophesy just as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army. There is an army. Then God said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they're saying. The bones are talking. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left of us. And sometimes that's how we feel. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There is nothing left of us. Come on, pastor. Come on, church. Sometimes that's how we feel. And we are in the valley of dry bones. I live in the desert. California is a big desert anyway, for the most part, Southern California. I live in the desert. I live in the desert. And it's dry. And when you live in a desert, I'm talking about physical desert, live in a desert and all you see is desert, all you see is dryness, it feels like you're hopeless and there is nothing left. It feels hopeless and it feels like nothing left. And we live in L.A. County, and even for county services, we get the last of the last of the county services. So, you know, it feels like bones are dried, hope is gone, there is nothing left. But the Lord says, therefore prophesy, tell them, God the Master, I'm still reading in the Message Bible, God the Master says, I will dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up your graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. When I bring you out, and all I can think of is Lazarus. All I can think of is Lazarus when I'm reading it. When Jesus called Lazarus, got him up out the grave. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I've said it, I'll do it, God's decree. That's from the Message Bible. So sometimes that's how we feel. We feel like, you know, all hope is gone. Our bones are dry, all hope is gone. We feel like that. And so the Lord told Ezekiel not just to prophesy but to the bones, but prophesy to the wind. And I like that Ezekiel was obedient. And even though this is a vision that Ezekiel had, Ezekiel was obedient in the vision. So I'm studying this and sharing this with you all, and I ran across this, illustration or story about a guy running through the marketplace shouting, I seek God, I seek God. And he's running through, this is a story, he's running through the marketplace saying, I seek God, I seek God. He comes into the middle of the crowd and he cries, where is God? And then he says, God is dead. God remains dead, and we have killed him. How shall we comfort ourselves, the murderers of all murderers? What water is there for us to clean ourselves? Later that morning, the man forced his way into several churches, and as he was being thrown out, he shouted to the pastors, these churches are nothing more than the graves and cemeteries of God. And we know God is alive and well. But sometimes it feels like that our churches are graves and cemeteries. I told Pastor, I was looking into the faces in the sanctuary, and I told Pastor, I said, they look like zombies. Just look like the walking dead. So many things, and I even as I struggled, tried to relay this message to you, waiting on the Spirit of the Lord to say something to me. Sometimes, you know, life sets in, and it's for young and old, because what I saw was young folks and old people, young and old. It just, you know, when you look at people's faces now, they look like the walking dead. It's just like a blank look, crosses is over their face. If their, my mom says their eyes have glazed over. It's just a blank look over their faces. And so sometimes that's what it feels like. And so this is a modern retelling of a famous parable, the Madman. And even though this story was written more than 100 years ago, the words remain relevant to a culture where the idea of God seems to be dying out. The idea of God seems to be dying out. The idea of salvation, the idea of sanctification, the idea of justification seems to be dying out. The idea of faith in God, and it's not the people, the sinner man. Let me just say that. It's not the sinner man. They don't believe in God anyway. It's not the atheist or the agnostic or people that believe in polytheism and all that stuff. It's not them because they don't believe in God anyway. It's the church. It's the people in the church. The idea of God seems to be dying out. Wow, more and more each day we read about churches and denominations struggling to stay alive. And there is a steady decline of churches in our country. There is a steady decline of churches in our country. I didn't get the statistics. I'll have them for you tomorrow. There is a steady decline of churches, a steady decline of people coming to church. I was listening to someone that gave statistics, and they were talking about certain ministry that they have a local ministry, but online or through media, social media, whatever, they have 30 locations. No one gets to really see this pastor. They just get to look at him on the screen. I'm just going to leave it right there. They get to look at him on the screen. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of impersonal. It's impersonal. It's like my husband hates texting. He said because it's impersonal. And let me tell you, I done went on vain. I try to stay with my notes here. I like social media for what it offers, I guess, for me as far as getting the word out. When I say the word, I'm talking about the word of God out and events that happen at our church. It's a wonderful tool for that. But social media has made us lazy and needy. I don't need you to text me every day. I'm just saying, me personally, Daphne, I don't need people to text me every day, and then people get upset when you don't text them back. Really? You really wanted to hear from me, you could pick up the phone and call. So what I do now is I call. Sometimes I text. And sometimes I call, because if I got to text you 4 or 5 times, then I'm calling, because that's a whole conversation. Then I call. It throws people off now when they hear a voice. Now they want you to be on the video stuff, you know, which is okay. But, you know, someone told me, well, you know, you can't read between the lines when the people text. If you see their face, you know if they're lying or not. No. No, you don't. Not really. Not unless the Spirit of the Lord shows you. So we have all these things that have made us detached. So now we're the walking dead, zombies, just going through life, doing stuff, and our bones are dry, and we're dead, and we don't have the life of God in us. And I know people say, well, I have the Spirit of the Lord in me. Well, excuse me, the Spirit of the Lord makes us obey. The Spirit of the Lord leads and guides us into all truth. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. And there is something that we need to do as preachers and teachers and ministers, apostles, prophets, bishops, whatever you call yourself. We need to preach the word. We need to preach the word. We need to prophesy, preach the word. It's preach the word. We need to preach the word. So there are statistics that paint a grim picture. I'm back to my notes. At first glance, it appears that the statement made earlier was ahead of its time. God is dead. It seems like, where is God? God is dead. God remains dead. It seems like it's ahead of its time. announcing the loss of God's presence to modern people. Of course, this could have been said during Ezekiel's time too, and it can be said in our time. For the children of Israel, after years of exile and captivity at the hands of the Babylonians, the Israelites were carried away, and they also carried around a heavy burden, thinking that they would never return home. Does that sound like us, thinking that things will never get better? And I know what the scripture says, and I will not negate the scripture. The Bible says perilous times will come. Perilous times are here. And for the saint of God, Jesus said, when you see all these, Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, he said, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What is happening now, and it's for young and old. A lot of things I want to say now. Young and old. What is happening now is life, the living, you know, being in this world. When I say life, living, doing the things that we need to do, a job, school, taking care of family, all the things that we have to do, probably taking care of loved ones and taking care of your own family, somebody else's family, and all these things that are happening, if we allow it, it will suck the life out of us. It will. It will suck the life, and I'm telling you, and we'll just be walking. We'll just be the walking dead. We'll just be zombies. We'll just be going through the motions and no spirit, no presence of God, not allowing the spirit and presence of God to work in our lives. Because here's the thing. I hear people say a lot, you know, and I see folks in the church, and I hear people say a whole lot about the spirit of God and all that moving in their lives and all this kind of stuff. But listen, if the spirit of God is really moving like we say he's moving, there will be signs and wonders. Okay. All right. Just want to say that. Listen, the first sign and wonder would be that we would be obedient to the word of God. It is the signs and wonders. You know, we would be obedient. Pastors wouldn't have any problems with membership. Immorality would not be in the church. I'm just saying. If the Spirit of the Lord is moving, like we say, he's moving with all my heart. So the children of Israel had a heavy burden, thinking they would never return home. Ezekiel was called to prophesy to a people that had lost heart, forced to watch as their way of life was utterly destroyed. Their holy temple was reduced to rubble. The holy city was plundered. The young men and women were killed or hauled off to a foreign land. I heard a prophecy the other day. We need to pray. People, war, let me say this, war makes money. War makes money. So we need to pray. The heart and soul of the people withered and died until the people felt as lifeless as a valley of dry bones. Can you imagine the people of Israel repeating the words that God was dead? No, we can't. But here's the thing. God is saying to us, am I dead to you? God is saying to us, can these bones live? No matter the question, we are left to wonder whether hope can be restored in the valley of despair. Can we survive? Can our churches survive in a country where church attendance has been on the decline for more than 20 years? On any given Sunday, we hear a myriad of excuses why people can't or will not come to church. The streets are not filled with people heading to church anymore, but our restaurants are filled. Amusement parks, restaurants are filled with people waking up, not coming to church, but heading out to the restaurants for breakfast, heading out to wherever they're going, heading out to the beaches. We see them do that, but we don't see them heading out to church. Our congregations are getting older and older. Churches everywhere are struggling to attract young people. Now, I'm just sharing with you what's on my heart. Granted, We can look over these problems and say it's not happening. But there are many congregations desperately trying to avoid being shut down, avoid shutting down and posting a for sale sign or a for rent sign. Pastors, I just got to read this, pastors struggling to get members to be faithful in coming to church, participating in church, and giving their tithes and offerings. Pastor and I have friends who have closed their churches, gave up preaching. On the flip side, there are churches that are looking for pastors, looking for someone to save them. It seems our churches are becoming dead and full of dead men's bones. And it's a scripture Jesus told the Pharisees, you look real nice on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Some of us are waiting for church to feel like the good old days. However, we have no plan, no strategy, just a hope that the church will fill up with the presence of God and fill up with his people. Let's stop right there and just share something with you. When it was laid on our heart and suggested to us that we have prayer, on Sundays at 9:30, right before service. And then I just couldn't wait till we had a building so I could have noonday prayer. I want to have prayer every day at our church. And as the Lord deal with me, I think I'll be doing that. But we have noonday prayer. You know, that's one of, I want to say, that's one of the strategies that we need to have in our churches is prayer and hear from God. We really need to pray and hear from God, and we need to be in the physical church building praying and hearing from God what we need to say, what we need to do for the people, what we need to prophesy, what we need to speak to the people, because we are hoping that our churches fill up, but we don't have a vision, we don't have a plan, we don't have nothing. We just hope it fills up. Well, how is it going to fill up if you don't have a vision or plan or purpose? Prayer. Pastors are praying to God to fill up sanctuaries, give those finances, send people that will help them keep their doors open. Now folks are looking for pastors. I put down here young pastors, and I don't know why. We're looking for young pastors. Looking for pastors that keep it real. Looking for pastors that have the latest fashion, the latest cars, that sing the latest worship songs. Pastors that do what we want them to do. Some of us are like the spiritual GPS, looking up and down the street for someone to scratch our itching ears, looking for messages and teachings that condone our lifestyle instead of adhering to the word of God. Scripture talks about those that have itching ears. The fear and anxiety felt by church members. Some pastors feel the same fear and anxiety. When I read about the statistics about ministries failing, it's easy to feel like, for me, this is me, I wrote this down. When I read, I'm going to give you statistics because it has been on the decline. I feel like, Lord, I need to be somewhere on the beach with my feet up, sipping lemonade and looking at the sun. That's me. That's me. I don't know about y'all, but that's me. We try to be relevant, yet we find ourselves still losing members. We wonder when we come to church on Sunday or anytime, Bible study, if the people will show up. And when they show up, will they participate and not just spectate? We wonder if our churches are just graves, cemeteries, longing for the past when church was church and people obeyed. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm finding that the answer to our problem lies in the Spirit of the living God. God asked Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, can these bones live? I'm asking the same question. Can these bones live, Lord? We cannot overlook the fact that the whole vision of Ezekiel is held together by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit God. The Spirit of God. It's He said, prophesy to the wind, the spirit, the breath of God. Listen, I'm asking the question, prophesy to the spirit of God, prophesy, tell me, prophesy to the spirit of God, prophesy to the breath, the wind of God, the presence of God. Okay, all right, okay. We cannot overlook the fact that the whole vision of Ezekiel is held together by the spirit of God, the ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God. It said, prophesy, verse 9 says, prophesy to the wind and say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe. Prophesy to the wind. So pay attention to the activity of the Spirit in Ezekiel's vision. The Spirit of God leads Ezekiel out of the valley of dry bones. The breath of God brings new life to a place of death. The wind of God causes the dry bones to live. The Spirit leads. The breath brings new life. The wind of God causes to live. Pay attention to this, and I'm done with this. The Spirit of God brings new life. But it does not mean that he will bring the same life. See, we're looking for the same thing. But the Spirit of God is progressive. Once he brings us back to life, old dry bones, and put the sinews and the muscles and the sinews and the skin on us, he's not bringing us up out of our graves for us to do the same thing over again. Okay? I'm trying not to preach. I just want to share this. He's not telling us so we can do the same thing over again. He's not telling us this so we can go, you know, go back to it what it once was. That's not it. That's not it. Pay attention to this. The Spirit of God brings new life, but it does not mean that he will bring the same life. He brings new life. Okay. The Spirit of God is at work, not to turn back the hands of time so we can relive our past successes. Israel never returned to her glory days. Never. Never. They tried to rebuild the temple. It was never like it was. There was the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. They saw to that. Israel doesn't regain her power and prestige simply because the Spirit of God moved. God does not seem, they didn't regain the natural part. No, never. Just because the Spirit of God moves doesn't mean we're going to get that house, that car, and go back to our past successes. That's not why he moves. That's not why he moves. God does not seem to be interested in returning Israel back to their political power. God seems more interested in reviving the heart and the soul of Israel. And I'm going to leave it right there because I got more to study. God doesn't seem interested in returning us back to, and I know what the cankerworm and the palmer worm and all of that stuff that we say. I'm reading this and I'm asking God, and I only have a few more minutes, what is wrong with us, the church? And we are in the valley of dry bones. I believe that. I believe that ministry and programs and fundraisers and conferences and seminars, and I do all that, conferences and seminars sometimes suck the life out of us. What we need, Hanasia, what we need is a fresh word from God. What we need is the Spirit of God moving in our services, moving in us, especially us as leaders, as pastors, as ministers, pastors, teachers, preachers, whatever you call yourself, apostle, prophet. I see so much stuff on Facebook. I'm just saying, can we just have the Spirit of God moving in our lives? That's it. That's all he wants. And he's not moving us so much so that we can build our own personal ministry. He's moving in us and through us so dry bones can live. So dry bones, hallelujah, can live. He wants to restore and revive the heart and soul. He wants to revive the spirit, the Spirit of God in us, in us. So can these bones live? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. God will bring us back to where we need to go, because we have forgotten our first love and all of these things, and the Lord will bring us back. But he's not bringing us back so we can laud, L-A-U-D, laud over our past successes. He's bringing us back and to move us forward. Only God can do that. He told the children of Israel, I'll bring you back to your land. I'm going to take you back to your land. But I'm taking you back. It's not going to be like it was. This is not about you being the greatest political power. This is not about you having the greatest temple. It's not about you any of that. It's not about the natural blessings anymore, because I gave you that, and you discarded them, and you misused them, and you disobeyed me. So now what I'm looking for, which he told him in the first place, now what I'm looking for is that your heart and your soul turns back to me. That's what God is looking for. That's what God desires for us. That's the purpose. That's the plan of our lives. I talked about following the formula. Follow the formula. That's the purpose and plan for our lives. It's not about all of that. We're looking for friends and folks to like us, people to love us, and they don't text me, and listen. You need to get a relationship with the Most High God. You need to get a relationship. You need to have a relationship with the Spirit of God that is in you. You have a relationship with Jesus. Pray and seek the Lord. He will do what needs to be done in your lives. It's a lot of things that I could say, but I only have a few more minutes. But I do want to read this part right here. It says some things God promised to the people of Israel. It says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews. I will put flesh upon you. Because you know everything. And listen, it's a process. He just didn't say, bones, get up and live. You got to put the sinew on you. And then I got to put the flesh on you. And then I got to cover you with skin. So, you know, there's a process. There's a formula and a process. And then I put my breath in you. You will live. You will know that I am Jehovah. Prophesy to the wind. Thus says the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain. You know, we have some wounded soldiers that we need to prophesy to and tell them to get up. I will open up your graves. I will cause you to come out of your graves. I will bring you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am Jehovah when I open your graves and bring you out. I will put my spirit in you. I will place you in your own land. Listen, can I say, I know I'm reading this, thoughts are coming to me. God will give us our own ministry. I don't know why I read own land. I just thought about ministry. That just came to me. God will give your own ministry, whatever it is that you need to do. It's so many things for us to do. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. We're so busy trying to do so many other things, trying to have the mega this, the mega that, the this, that. I believe God is looking for a people that will preach his word. Just preach his word. Just preach the unadulterated word of God. Hell is hell. Heaven is heaven. Is holiness a hell? Is black and white when it comes to the things of God. I'm talking about morally, black and white when it comes to the things of God. There's no gray area in between, you know, when it comes to God. It just is what it is. Whatever he says, that's what we need to do. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to let you go for today. And I pray that I've said something to you. I did a whole lot of talking this morning, not really knowing what I was going to say and how the Lord was going to lead. But I do believe that the Spirit of the Lord is calling us and telling us to come on out of there. He wants to revive us, renew us, and restore us. And I want to say this to whatever pastor is listening to me. We have to preach the word. And there are pastors right now that need to be revived, refreshed, and renewed. And I pray that someone will send that God will send someone to you that will speak life to you today in the name of Jesus. I pray that God sends someone to you, pastor, someone to you, evangelist, someone to you, apostle, prophet, preacher, and teacher, that will revive you. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God needs us. He needs our hands, our feet, our mouth, and our eyes, our ears. He needs us. He needs us to preach and teach his word. Amen. So thank you so much for joining me. God let you go. I love you with the love of Jesus. Keep praying for me. Pray for Pastor Melvin Smith. Pray for our church, Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated, 38138 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale. We love you, and we're praying for you, and we want you to know you are purpose for godliness. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.